Hello, and welcome to the Divorced Dadvocate, divorce support for dads, where we help dads create a healthy and less traumatic divorce. My name is Jude Sandoval, and I'm your host. I created this podcast and the Divorced Dadvocate community as a result of my own high conflict divorce, and because you as a dad deserve all the resources necessary to thrive through this challenging time. I encourage you to check out our website at thedivorcedadvocate.com, where there are resources that correspond to this episode, as well as free access to our membership community, where you will find live meetings, free workshops and courses, private discussion groups, and more. And now, on to this week's episode. Hello, and welcome to the Divorced Dadvocate, where we help dads create a healthier and less traumatic divorce. I have to say that today, I really feel that, there's some milestones that you reach in a business and in life. And today, this podcast is definitely reaching one because we're having somebody on today that is a neuroscientist. He has been voted twice as America's top doctor, a clinical neuroscientist, an inspirational speaker, best-selling author, and an international coach. He's affectionately known as Dr. L, the Parent Whisperer, which I wish I would have known some parent whispering like years and years ago, but that's okay. Better late than never. I have teenagers, so some of this might really, really apply these days. He's on a mission to support, inspire, and empower as many people as possible to step into their thrive and leave a legacy. Please help me welcome the founder of Role Model Maker and the creator of the Amazing Parents Network, Dr. Ali Lakhrani. Dr. Ali, welcome.
Thank you, Jude. It's nice to be here. Hi, guys. I'm glad to be here. And thank you for your time and inviting me to the show.
Yes. No, I am seriously really, really excited because I've followed some of your work and listened to a lot of your stuff. And it is in so much alignment with what we talk about. But, you know, you have the background and the credentials to really support all of this stuff, which I don't. Like, I'm just some schmuck that got a divorce, has been going through it, and has been fumbling my way around through so much of this stuff. But before we get into like some real serious stuff, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you became Dr. L, the Parent Whisperer.
Absolutely. Well, I think actually the main criteria for this is for you to actually be a dad to begin with, right?
Yeah.
So for years, I actually had my private practice. As you said, it was an award-winning practice, but I was not a dad at the time. So I was making all kinds of recommendations and everything based on the latest scientific stuff. And of course, to me, it made perfect sense that this is going to get you the results until I became a dad and I realized it's a little bit more complex than that.
Just a little.
I actually grew up with ADHD, so I was not an easy child. So my main area is neurodevelopmental disorders. So I helped families who had children with autism spectrum disorders. So I identified with both of the parents as well as the children. One of the things happens is that, number one, what I saw was that these children were coming to me. They were 6, 7, 10, 12 years of age, and they had seen that they're different than those around them. So they were internalizing this difference, thinking there's something wrong with them. And of course, monitoring and parenting a child on the spectrum is not easy. It's not ordinary. So there's a lot of parent-child tension in the relationship as well. Mm-hmm. And of course, depending on how you're brought up, your approach to parenting happens to be probably different than your significant other, right? So right. There's spousal relationships that are, strained and stressed. And then there's financial things because you're trying to take care of this kid and trying to throw everything at the wall. Hopefully something sticks as far as therapy is concerned, which is actually not often the best case or the best way to go about it. So you have the financial strain, the spousal relationship, and I didn't want the kids and the families to go through what I had gone through. So I literally stepped away from an award-winning practice. Everybody questioned my sanity. I had an identity crisis. But if I'm a doctor, I'm not seeing patients, then who am I? But I really wanted to be on the prevention side of things, make sure that the families and the children are brought up in a way that is optimizing the children's lives. And I did that for a good 10 years, just putting everything that I knew into raising my own children. And it was wonderful. It was lovely. It's truly an investment that's going to pay dividends in the sense that the time and the connection that you form with your children, you know, you should look at it like that. But having said that, I also wanted to make sure that ultimately my kids would recognize me as more than somebody who just took care of them, as somebody that actually led by example, somebody that they knew what he stood for, what he stood against, what he did in the world. So that's basically when I stepped into the online world and did what I'm doing now.
That is fantastic. So you don't only know this from a scientific background. Well, you do know this from, but you're living it and you're implementing it and seeing how it has an impact. So let's chat a little bit about why it is so important, and in the context of our audience, our divorced dads, to be leading by example. And this is something that we talk about quite often in the divorce process, and how this is an opportunity for them. If they haven't, I mean, oftentimes they are and they have, but a lot of times there's, you know, a dynamic that's going on that's really challenging, and which may be the impetus for the divorce, that now they have this opportunity to do this. Why is that important?
Absolutely. Actually, that's a good question, because many of us kind of get so caught up in the whole day-to-day routine of things, and life is hectic as it is. And to be a single parent, it's even more difficult, right? So yeah. For us to be able to step up in all of these different areas, we need to have this base or this foundation. So oftentimes I talk about this, that you have to have this top-down, inside-out approach, that if you want to make an impact, if you want to make a change, if you want to show up as the best self possible, if you want to control your life, then you need to be able to control, first of all, your body. And in order to control your body, you need to be able to control the organ that controls the function of everything else. Call me biased, that happens to be the brain.
Right.
So I say that if you can support your brain, then your brain in turn can go ahead and support you. So in order to support the brain, there are four foundational things that you need to make sure that you do. And this is no different for your children than it is for yourself. So leading by example, this would be the starting point. So the foundation of that is, of course, nutrition, right? So we want to make sure that we're giving our body the fuel and the building blocks so that it can sustain us. So that proper nutrition is right. Important. Then right next to that is the rest and oxygenation. So how many of us go ahead and tell our kids go to sleep at a certain amount of time, but then we're night owls ourselves or right. Struggle through our routines. So we got to establish that routine where we're getting adequate amount of rest ourselves. And then the other part is oxygenation. So think about this. You gave your body the perfect diet, perfect fuel. You got plenty of rest. Now you've got this jet engine ready to take off, but you can't take it to outer space because there's no oxygen there. So you got to make sure that the oxygenation is there. You need to be a rocket engine, not just a jet engine, right? So you want to make sure that you have adequate amount of oxygen. This oxygen comes through your breathing, your home environment, and also through your rest, believe it or not, because your body's needs for oxygen drop when you rest. So that's when your body actually saturates the tissues with oxygen. So you got your fuel, you got the oxygen to burn the fuel with, you got the rest. And now that your brain has the fundamental and foundational pieces, it needs the last piece, which is proper neural stimulation. Now, neural stimulation does not mean video games, does not mean caffeine. What it means is proper movement in gravity, incorporating as many senses as possible. Mm-hmm. So this can be physical fitness and exercise. This could be walking. This could be dancing. This could be, you know, a number of different things that make you move in gravity, move to music, move with different lights, move with other people, whatever those things happen to be. Have an activity where you do movement with your kids. And we complain all the time about how the kids are not active. Well, why don't we create an activity in our day-to-day life? For me, I literally have an hour and a half scheduled every week with both of my kids where I actually go ahead and do something outdoorsy, outside with them. So we go for a walk, whatever it happens to be, and then we can talk, we can go get something to eat, whatever it happens to be. But it involves kind of incorporating all these different senses together. So the proper neural stimulation. So that's if you can do it for yourself, that's the foundational piece to support your brain.
Those are awesome. Can we focus briefly on that neurostimulation? Because I've read a lot about neuroplasticity, and we've talked on the show about changing behaviors, and then personalities change from changing behaviors and, you know, rewiring your brain. And that happens, again, as an opportunity through divorce, if you're looking at what potentially adaptive, maladaptive behaviors may have had. And so now, you know, I know just enough to be dangerous about it, right? But you know about this. Tell us why, you know, maybe a little more detail as to why that is so important, and how the men can benefit from that. And also, I just want to let the audience know that you're going to have something for us at the end that's going to be very beneficial. So to hang on to the end, you're going to have an offer for us for the men to take a look at. But if you could speak to that neurostimulation.
Absolutely, absolutely. So guys, the reason we talk about this neurostimulation, and of course, the foundation for this is you cannot ask your body to do the stimulation before it has the building blocks and it's supported enough. So oftentimes in private practice, I would not start the kids on their therapies and ask their brain to do something it'd never done before, unless I knew that their rest, the nutrition, oxygenation, all of those were taken care of. And in fact, there are biometrics that you can measure to see if the brain is ready for that. But for the general purposes, we want to make sure that your nourishment, oxygen, rest are addressed. But if you have that part covered, one thing that you need to understand is that the frontal part of our brain, the part that's responsible for executive function, decision-making, prioritization, focus, building our values, standing up for things, standing against things, empathy, and building relationships and connecting to other human beings, that part gets a stimulation from the deeper brain centers that are in your brainstem. And that part of the brain, which is also the metronome and the maestro for your brain that coordinates different parts of the brain, gets a stimulation through movement. So this is why I say watching video games does not equate it. Even though video stimulation is a great source of stimulation for your brain, it does not coordinate all the different centers of your brain together. That has to happen through movement. So it's easy for us to kind of, after a long day and taking care of the kids and doing all these different things, just come home and want to just plop down and just basically reset our brains, right? But before you do that, make sure that you go for a walk, get the oxygen in, get the different body parts moving. So just let's talk about the basics of walking, for instance.
Yeah.
When you walk, you get your left hand and your right foot moving at the same time. And at the same time, your head kind of moves in this figure eight motion. And so what's happening is your eyes have to have maintain their levelness with the horizon. So your spine and your eyes and how you carry your head and all the muscles that have to move you in that fashion, they all have to coordinate. So that coordinates the left front and the right rear and vice versa with all these different areas basically together. And then you're smelling things and you're seeing the light and catching the vitamin D. And then you have the impact on the floor. So if you're, let's say, walking on the beach, you get the sand. If you're walking on grass, different things. So all of that stimulation and the sights and sounds that are coming in, they all integrate and come together. So this becomes really, really important, because when that stimulation happens and now your brain is coordinated, these metabolically active parts, the frontal part, the cerebellum that's responsible for coordination, and I don't mean just coordination of movement, but also coordination of thoughts, these things become really activated. And then when you have this activation, you can coordinate your thoughts. So if you've been scatterbrained or if you have brain fog, guess what? This is one of those good remedies for it. And then when you are walking and you're stimulating these things, what ends up happening is these deeper brain centers in the frontal cortex, called like the insular cortex, becomes activated. Now, why is that important? The reason that becomes important is that is the area responsible for empathy. And that is foundational to us social creatures who are trying to connect to the world at large. So you can meet the same person, depending on what kind of status and situation is going on in your brain. And you can look at one situation as a situation that's stressful and threatening to you, where it's that fight or flight response, where you're trying to look for win or lose situation, trying to get the upper hand, trying to be persuasive, try to drive your point over basically across, versus the other scenario where your body and your brain is supported. You're in your parasympathetics. It's your rest and digest and healing mode. In that situation, you approach the same person, same scenario, and you will look at it as a collaborative effort, as a synergistic effort, a win-win situation. So if you're building a relationship with your kids, if you're building a relationship with like some new person that you want to build the rest of your life with, this becomes essential because, you know, we men and women think differently. As much as we like to think that we're all humans, we are different and we process differently. And the thing that actually links us together is this fight or flight versus the heal and resting and parasympathetic response. If you want to be thriving, you want to stay in your parasympathetics. You want to have that empathy part activated so that you can actually make meaningful relationships, that your kids will not feel threatened from you, that actually will feel supported by you, and you will feel supported by your kids in turn as well.
That's phenomenal. So in my simplistic way, you're essentially rewiring your brain to, and it's having just a dramatic impact on all areas of your life. And you're simply doing this by an exercise as easy as walking.
Right, exactly. I mean, thousands of years ago when we were, you know, running away from predators and chasing prey, you know, we needed both the sympathetic and the parasympathetic, and we still needed both of them today, but to a much lesser extent. And the thing is, the system, you have both circuits. Depending on which one you exercise and practice, that becomes the superhighway. So if you're free, fear, and anger driven, if you are driven by win-lose, if that aggression, those type of things, then guess what? What ends up happening is that becomes your superhighway. That becomes the go-to circuit. Yeah. So you want to make sure that you stimulate and support the other system as well, because oftentimes in today's world, our systems need to be supportive and collaborative and cooperative and synergistic with the rest of the society. And it's easy for us to really fall into that survival mode.
Yeah.
And we need to realize that success in surviving is not the same as success in thriving.
Right.
Right. These are completely different outcomes.
Yeah, that's a great point. So, and on that point, so you work with a lot of men. What do you find are some of their greatest challenges to creating the space of these four things, and what can they do to, you know, maybe some brief ideas of, you know, how they can push, you know, forward in establishing that?
Right. Well, one of the big things is, as men, we are providers. We're the ones that are oftentimes just giving and forgetting about ourselves. That's like where we always start. They talk about women being givers. I happen to disagree, because we give in a different level, in a different form, because the way evolutionarily we were brought up is to go ahead and subside our immediate needs. Because if you're out in the field and you're hunting something and you get injured, you don't need to worry about your foot hurting or your arm being broken. You need to make it back to camp. You need to be able to carry the hunt to your family, those type of things. Right. So as a result, it is embedded in us to forget about our feelings, forget about our survival, forget about all of those important things. But in today's world, when there's so much demand on you, you want to make sure that you start on that foundational piece. Make sure your rest, make sure your food that you're taking in, those things you care about, and you put it first. Not just because of yourself, because many of us are service oriented. It is easy for us to say, well, I come last. But I want you to think about it this way. Our brain literally takes the universe at large and tries to recreate it inside. So if you've got children and they are trying to do this process of emulating the reality inside their brain, what they get exposed to becomes their reality. So if they see you living a thriving life, they automatically assume that, well, that's how normal lifestyle is supposed to be.
Right.
Rather than you having to preach to them what to do and what not to do, they automatically do the stuff that you do. So it is a far more effective, much easier way of making sure that your kids grow up without you having to put as much input into it. And by the same token, you also are showing up as a person that takes care of themselves, puts themselves first, right? Isn't that what we want for our kids? To make sure that they are taken care of, that they make themselves a priority, not their job or their boss or their relationship, but actually themselves. It's important for us to lead by example, show them what that looks like, that our wants, our needs, our desire to create a legacy is important to us. Right. They're important to us too, but everything has a time and a place. We need to have boundaries. By the way, that boundary starts with physical boundary of your body. So if you don't move that neural stimulation we were talking about, you actually tend to lose that coordination as far as where your body is in space. And that's not just about your body. It's also about your thoughts and what you stand for and what you stand against. So if you want your kids to have a fulfilling job, be able to pick the right career, have the success at choosing the right relationship, they need to know what they stand for and what they stand against. And again, it shows up as far as movement and supporting your body and your brain.
Right. So we can look at it and we can almost reframe this in our minds as divorced dads that are going through this stressful and challenging time, but in putting our I call it self-care, right? Our self-care first of eating right, getting the rest, doing the exercise that body movement that we need to do as more than just self-care, because what you're doing then by modeling for them is what you just described. You're demonstrating a life, the universe that you create around you, whatever environment. I talk about optimizing your environment and creating an environment that's conducive to all this stuff that your kids then learn from, and then they carry that on forward. And, and it goes so, so deep with the empathy. You talked about the empathy, which is a huge, huge thing, that was a challenge for me to learn and understand as a parent. Like, I didn't have the great parenting growing up, and I emulated that, and I had to learn to understand the empathy part of it. But what I didn't realize that you just shared with me is that work that stems from like taking care of myself, getting that my mind rewired into that spot. So is that a good way to describe, like, reframing that as like how it can have just a massive impact?
Absolutely. It's basically laying the foundations so you're capable of showing empathy. Oftentimes we're like, okay, what's the latest psychological technique or parenting technique to show empathy? Well, if your body is not supported enough to show empathy, the technique is not going to be as effective. So it's important for us to have that foundational piece in there. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I've noticed this and I noticed it the hard way. Okay. I wish I had talked to you 9 years ago during my divorce. Right. Because I've learned this the hard way through trial and error, but also in like paying attention to my environment as well as the environment of my children. And I know if I don't get rest and I'm tired, the energy level, not just for me, but in our entire household goes down. Then there's arguing, there's problems, there's challenges. If I'm not on top of my, I call it on top of my game, but it's really just taking care of like the fundamental things that you just described, that it just permeates through all the rest of the house. And so that's kind of what led me the backwards way, right? Right. You're taking it from the scientific approach and you know all about it. I like went backwards. Like, why is everything just chaotic and a mess in my house? And it's like, oh, well, this day was better. Well, I got a lot of sleep and I've been eating good and I've been doing all this stuff. Well, maybe that's the link, and started to finally figure it out. So it absolutely, absolutely, positively works.
I'll give you this perfect example. We all find it difficult to squeeze these things into our lifetime, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to blame it on somebody else, but part of the reason that this is so difficult for us is because we actually didn't have a good working model of it. I mean, think about it. Our parents did whatever they took, they gave of themselves so that we could have the best.
Yeah.
And in the process, they showed us how to survive.
Right.
How to come second, so that somebody else can get ahead in life.
Exactly.
So now we're kind of trying to create this new model, and it's like, this is in contrast to what we have emulated in our brains, basically.
Yeah.
We need to create this for our children. It's our responsibility to make sure that it doesn't perpetuate into the next generation.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got the opportunity now to break this cycle, to make a new start of it, if you will, with our children. And, you know, that's one of the giant things about what this show is. So I really appreciate that insight, especially because it somewhat supports how I do over the weeks, say this in not such a concise, perfect way, with all of the brilliant knowledge that you have, but it supports what we say on the show all the time. So I sincerely appreciate that. Now, you've got something that you want to offer out there to the men listening. What is that?
So kind of to build up to the offer, mm-hmm. One of the things is, of course, when we are saying this stuff, it's easy to find out all the things that we are not doing or not doing right. And the point of it is not...
Or spend 9 years like I did trying to beat my head against the wall and cry every night. And
the point is not about what you didn't get to do or what you can't do. The point of it is to, number one, allow room for yourself, for your life situation to exist. All right. If we don't accept our life as it is, our relationships, our kids, everything, mm-hmm. as they are, then there's very little room for us to start making change. So first, you have to create the space to accept things as they are. Then the second part is to be able to take the logical next step. It doesn't have to be big, something little, so that we can move in the right direction. And that's all it takes. And it's the same thing for the kids. So for the kids, if we can do this for ourselves, then we can do this for the kids too. Mm. Can you allow room for yourself to exist physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually? Then if you can do that for yourself, you can do that for your kids. Allow room for them to exist, for their personality to flourish, for them to experiment with things and to ultimately find their way and their passions in life. So in doing so, one of the gift that I have for you guys is, and I forgot it, it's three principles to unlocking your child's potential.
Wow.
And these are three foundational pieces to make sure that your relationship with your children remains intact despite the trials and tribulations. Because face it, whether you're a grown-up or a kid, mistakes and the learning process is just part of life.
Yep.
And we don't get it perfect the first time. And they will not get it perfect the first time.
Right.
And if we don't actually try this learning process and don't make mistakes, then we don't grow as individuals. We don't fulfill our potential. So I've given these three principles that will ensure that not only your relationship with your children remains intact, but also something that enables both you as well as your children to develop your own personalities and have a relationship that evolves over time, as opposed to something that kind of mutates into some kind of a problem management and band-aid approach to
right.
world's challenges and parenting issues, basically.
Right. It's the difference between surviving and thriving.
Exactly.
As a parent and creating that relationship. So gentlemen, please, is there a specific website, or will we just share the link in the show notes?
Yeah, I will go ahead and have the link for you guys. And by clicking on the link, you can simply have it for free. It's up for grabs.
Fantastic. Thank you. So gentlemen, click on that. If you're like me, the universe is actually not one or two times. It's got to be 3, 4, 5 times to figure this stuff out. So grab that and you'll save yourself a lot of heartache and headache like I have over the past 9 years. So Dr. L, how can those listening get in touch with you?
Well, we have multiple support groups. We have the Amazing Parents Network, of course. We have Partnership in Parenting 101 on Facebook. But probably if you go ahead and click on the gift that I have for you guys, it actually directs you to an application page. One of the things that I want you guys to pass on to your kids is the importance of understanding that they're not alone in this world, that there's always somebody to help them. So if you feel like you have the need to have a talk or a conversation with somebody, fill out the application form, apply for a chat with me. And then during that time, I can listen to you guys and see where might be some areas where I might be able to point you in the right direction or help you or offer any services that we may have for that, and then go from there.
That's wonderful. One of the basic things that we talk about in the beginning for the men going through divorce is find some support, whether that, even if that's just a friend. But now with the proliferation of the internet and people doing, you know, amazing stuff like yourself, you have somebody to talk to all the time. It's a click of a button. So click on that, get into your calendar. I know you've got an easy way to schedule and get in there just as I do. And so men out there listening, you know, take Dr. L up on it, get some, you know, talk to somebody if you need to, because it's absolutely a game changer and it can change your life. So
you guys are important. You have an important role both to yourself, to society, and the next generation. And I'm here to help and support you guys in any way possible.
Well, Dr. L, the Parent Whisperer, I sincerely appreciate all the work that you do. It's absolutely amazing. And I'd ask anybody out there that is listening and found some value to visit your sites and give us thumbs up and give us reviews and subscribe and share it with your friends, because the more people that we get this information out to, the more people we can help. So thanks so much. It was a sincere pleasure having you on today, Dr. L.
Likewise. Thank you guys for listening to us, and hope to see you in the future.
To hear the rest of this episode and access the corresponding resources, visit thedivorcedadvocate.com and become a member of our community. It's free to join and will provide you with the resources you deserve as a divorced or divorcing dad. Thank you for listening. God bless, and I'll talk with you next week.